Hello everyone, I am Mirta Hurtado Rivas. No VIPs or rock stars, just simple people sharing their life stories to trigger discussions around important topics, or simply to inspire us to embrace challenges ourselves. Welcome to Leaderching. Hello everyone. Today, our guest is Wiebke Wichert, a longstanding colleague and friend of mine. Hi, Wiebke, how are you?
Hello, Mirta. I'm fine, a bit curious about the upcoming questions, but all fine so far.
So let's dive directly into it, Wiebke. So my first question is going to be about your childhood. What did you dream of becoming as a child?
Oh, wow. Let me try to remember, because I think I had several dreams about my future job. In the beginning, I always wanted to do something with my hands, to have a flower shop or something like that. And then I slightly switched into the direction of becoming a teacher. Which I still had when I was a teenager. And then things went a bit blurry because I didn't know any longer what I really wanted to become.
That's interesting. So when you look back at your childhood, is there any events that you think shaped your childhood in particular?
I don't think there is any specific event that shaped my childhood. I must say I had a rather, I was a happy child. I have a sister. I had, or still have, my two parents. My dad was working. My mom was not working until I was 10 or 12, and then only part-time. So it was a rather protected childhood. We spent the weekends, we spent a lot of time together with my sister and my parents. We discovered the surroundings of my birth town, of my hometown, and we always went out into nature. So I was rather happy, or I was happy, but I was also already very young, confronted with other families who had really difficulties and who had social issues. So I was in touch with different levels of the society, which was very interesting. So we were not rich, we were not poor, we were middle class, and some members of our family had a lot of money. Then classmates didn't have any money at all. And I was in touch with many different classes of the German society, which was very interesting. But I think this shaped me in the sense that I always was curious to learn about other and see how they live and maybe try to help if it's necessary. But there is no specific event that shaped me somehow. I cannot say this, no.
Okay, but it seems like the way you were brought up, your protected childhood in combination with your natural curiosity to learn about others somehow did have an impact on you. Do you think that this also had an impact on your professional development, on what you decided then to do at the end?
Yes, this is possible, because I grew up in a small town, and I had a lot of classmates from other nationalities, Turkish people, Polish people, also German, but it was really a mixture, and I was really always attracted by the different cultures I didn't know yet. So I was really open to get to know this. And I think this also led me to this also made was very important for my interest to get to know foreign languages, to learn foreign languages, and try to find my way to a job where I could apply those foreign languages and where I could continue to learn about other cultures and other horizons.
Thank you for sharing that. So you had this interest in others and foreign cultures. I assume that during your professional development, you also sometimes faced challenges. Can you maybe let us know how you embraced those challenges?
During my professional development, there were some challenges, but it was, after my studies, I went to France, where I started working in a very small company. And this company was in the environmental sector, and the company did very well in the beginning, but then difficulties came up, financial difficulties because of non-paid invoices, and then it was a kind of spiral. The banks didn't give any more money, and this company went bankrupt, and the time before was very difficult because I'm a very conscious person, and I knew that the company was drowning, and we still took orders from customers and the money we could get. So I was in a very difficult situation. I tried to be as honest as I could, but this was a very challenging time, and I must say, in the end, I chose the option to be frank with all the clients, customers I had on the phone, and tell them the truth, even though this was very difficult, because then I had to hear their standpoint and how we could dare to take them into this drowning of the company by taking their money. But that was the way it was. And in this time, I tried to do a lot of sports next to my work in order to digest somehow this difficult situation.
It sounds like a difficult situation where you had also to take a decision, right, based on your values.
Exactly.
Personal values. Do you think that these values that you have, and one seems to be transparent and honest, do you think that these values have kind of helped you during the, when you encountered the next challenges? Or do you have the feeling that sometimes your values are difficult kind of to align with your job? What's your feeling there?
No, I must say I have these values, and I was always lucky to have colleagues or managers who had more or less the same values and who also stood in for those values. And it was rather a good experience to apply those and to try not to let them go. And you, as one of my former managers, you taught me a lot also in this sense, and I think we always were on the same level of understanding. You have certain values, and then you fight for them somehow.
Yes, it sounds like sometimes you have to fight for them, right? And sometimes it's a bit easier. Now, you just mentioned the magic word, right? Because leadership is a lot about leadership and coaching. So what would be, in your view, a good leader?
A good leader, in my view, is someone who listens to others, who has his or her own standpoint, but is also open to hear other people's opinions, standpoints, to accept them. A good leader for me stands behind the people he or she is leading somehow, is supportive, but also challenges people, because it's only this way that you progress in your professional and personal life. A good leader for me also shows his human side and should also acknowledge when he or she has failed. A good leader for me is someone who is available when persons face difficulties. And yes, and I must say, I had in my professional career male leaders and female leaders, and for the time being, I appreciated much more having a female leader, but maybe this is due to the personalities of the two or now three female leaders I had.
That actually, you preempted my next question, and that's why I'm smiling already. It's because I wanted actually to ask you if you believe that some of the characteristics that you just mentioned, that gender may play a role or not. And you kind of indirectly already answered, but maybe you can share a little bit more. Do you personally think this is something that is related to gender, or is it more just a coincidence?
I would say partly it's related to the gender. I would say so. For me, women, female leaders, well, anyway, as a woman, you always think, unfortunately, for the time being, that you have to do more than your male counterpart. And then you also try to be maybe more comprehensive with respect to your colleagues' issues and proposals. I think a female leader is more open for feedback and is often, what I have experienced, more action-oriented and also knows to delegate, but also takes action, ownership, and is more accountable. This is what I have experienced, and I think partly this is related to the gender of the person.
So if we go a little bit further with respect to the topic of gender, as you know, we often have spoken about this between ourselves, but I would like to hear from you if you think that the discussion about gender is outdated, or if it's a discussion that you feel still needs to take place nowadays.
Oh, I think it's not outdated at all, and it should take place as long as this issue remains. For me, it's not outdated at all, even though in our company there is a lot of things going on and a lot of improvements. But when you have a look at the female condition around the world, I would say no, there is a lot of work to do still, definitely.
Do you think that during the current crisis, so the COVID-19 crisis and the lockdown, that the gender question has been somehow even, you know, more in the spotlight than usually? Or do you think it's not so much the case? And I'm referring to the fact that, you know, I've heard from many mothers, for instance, that despite the fact that everyone was in lockdown, they still had to take on more chores at home whilst continuing to work. I'm not sure if you may have experienced something similar, or if you have heard about things going that way?
Well, I think it's certainly a matter of fact that many women took over more tasks during the lockdown. I must say I'm rather in the lucky situation that I have a partner who really, really helps a lot. But I must say I experienced the lockdown situation rather, for me, it was rather difficult from a psychological point of view, because I put myself more under pressure, because I thought I would have to be able to do everything at the same time, take care of our daughter, do the work 100% or even better. And I think it's this everlasting story about women. They think they always need to do better than men in order to get acknowledgement. But this is it's me. It's just in my head. I put the pressure on me. But I think there are many, many women who really had to take on more. And I very, very often thought about those couples where women are really in danger when they stay with their husband or partner who gets violent sometimes. So I think the lockdown really, I don't know how to phrase this, but it really showed the actual situation. There are maybe people who didn't really pay attention to this, but for me, it really made it very clear that the gender discussion should go on, for sure.
Thank you for sharing that. And I fully appreciate what you say. And I think I see it in a similar way. I think the lockdown just exacerbated a lot of the inequalities that already exist. And
yes.
Obviously, women were touched by this, and unfortunately so. So if we continue to think a little bit along the lines of the lockdown, you mentioned earlier that during your first big challenge, when you had this situation in your first French company, mm-hmm. you were a lot of sports to deal with the stress.
Yes.
So how did you try to kind of navigate the lockdown, which is, I would assume, also a big challenge? What did you try to do to keep yourself, healthy physically and mentally, if I may say so?
Well, this was a bit more difficult, but I think each time it really became a bit difficult for me. I just went outside. I'm in the happy situation. I live in a house surrounded by a garden. So each time I need to change my mind, I can go out and just have a look at flowers or the nature. We weren't allowed to go out very far, but I sometimes just took half an hour with our daughter and then went out for a small walk. And then things I calmed down and I was able to focus again. And also, of course, trying to discuss with my partner or just do something with our daughter just to change my mind. Sports was not really an option, because jogging, not very easy to realize, but yes, just going out, take some fresh air, look at the nature, the small piece of nature around the house, that helped a lot.
Thank you. You just mentioned your daughter Charlotte again, and I'm mm-hmm. wondering, when you think about her and her future, how are you trying to kind of, make sure that she has maybe a better situation than the one we ourselves are facing with respect to, professional development, the options that she may have as a teenager or adult to pursue her dreams. How is it that you go about that? Is it something you discuss or not at all?
Something very important, in my opinion, is that I try to make her understand that she should fight for her dreams, or not really fight, but if she wants something, that she should do everything in order to achieve it. I also try to explain to her that a man and a woman can do the same job, the same things. She sometimes comes to me and tells me, "Oh, but this is rather for boys or for girls." And I tell her, "No, if you're interested in this, you can also play with a car, or I don't know. And if a boy is interested, he can also play with a doll." But it's just she, I think it comes from her surroundings. She already classifies, this is for boys, this is for girls, and girls do this and boys do that. I try to explain to her that it might be different, but yeah, it's difficult. But I try to be as honest with her as to the situation of the world and the work she, the job she can do in her future. For me, the most important is that she chooses something she's really interested in and she wants to do.
Sounds like
So,
you're aiming for her to be happy.
yes, exactly. Right now, I don't have the plan for her to go to a very well-known university and to become a doctor or something. I think it's too early. She's 6 years old, so she still has time. But I try to find out her centers of interest, and then I will try to support her in whatever she likes to do.
Has Charlotte ever mentioned any type of job that she would like to do in the future?
Yes. Oh, yes. She would either like to become a hairdresser, or she would like to have a shop for clothing.
Wow,
So
she's interested in fashion. I wonder where that comes from.
she's really interested in fashion. Yeah, she doesn't have this from her mom, I think, but yeah, she's interested. She also has wondered if she maybe could combine both, so having a hairdresser salon and sell clothes at the same time.
Well,
I don't
that's very
know.
advanced for her age. She's having quite a very concrete aspiration, right?
Yes, for the moment, yes. And this hasn't changed for 1.5 years now, I think. But yeah, it still might change. Let's see.
Very interesting to know that. I wasn't aware of that, so that's really interesting. We're getting almost to the end of our discussion, Wiebke, and this discussion is this this question, sorry, is kind of funny. But when you look back and let's say you put yourselves back in your 20s, what type of advice would you give yourself based on the experience you have gathered so far?
Maybe I would give myself the guidance to be a bit more self-confident. Also, with respect to my parents or my parents' point of view, because parents always want the best for the children, but sometimes their advice might not be the best. But basically, I must say I don't regret anything I did or I experienced. I also went through difficult times, but I think everyone has to do his or her own experiences and know that my way until now, it seems to me like a development, somehow with its own logic. But I couldn't say I would give myself this or that device, other than maybe being a bit more self-confident and fight a bit more for my own interest in on the professional way and in the private life also.
When you think about the future for yourself, and you take into account the advice you would be giving yourself, you know, as you were younger, do you think this is an advice that is still valid today, or has this changed?
This is a very interesting question. No, I would still give it to me today, even though I think I have improved in making my point clear in my private life and also in my professional life. And I had a lot of support also in my professional life. So, yeah. No, it was more important, this advice, when I was 20. Today is rather... it's rather okay.
And so if you would need to give yourself an advice now, what would that be?
keep my patience, which I tend to lose now from time to time with myself and with others. And also... really don't forget to put things into perspective, because you only have one life. You, of course, you have your job, very important. It's important to like what you do, but then try to not to get too stressed for things that really aren't worth it, because when you calm down and put things into perspective, you always find a solution. And if you talk to other people also, for example, when I discuss with you, my mind clears up, or when I discuss with colleagues or friends, this is something, an advice I would give this advice to me, because the last times I had a tendency just to stay on my own and don't share that much my thoughts and everything anymore. And I realize it's so helpful to hear other people's experiences, exchange, and just talk about life, work, and everything. It's important. It's a very important part, and this one I need to work on it for my own well-being.
Well, that's really an excellent closing, Wiebke, because as you know, what we are trying to achieve via this podcast, Leaderching, is just to share experiences with others, just to kind of get people to listen to other perspectives and point of views, so that actually by listening to others, you just kind of put yourself into perspective and try to kind of reach out to others. And I think that element to me is very, very important. Our first actually guest on the Spanish podcast said something that still resonates with me, which was oneself is always part of the solution. So to see actually to have the feeling that the problems is not always the others, but that we are part of that too. And then accordingly, we are also part of the solution. And the other thing that really kind of resonates with me is the fact that you say, that we shouldn't keep things for ourselves, especially when we're having a hard time, because actually sometimes just talking to someone or just asking for a point of view that's different from ours is very helpful. It just takes away the pressure. And most of the times we realize we are not the only ones struggling with something. That actually happens to many, many people.
Exactly.
Yes. So with that, thanks for that closing remark that was on point for this podcast. Thank you for joining us all, and talk to you soon.
Bye bye.
Bye.
I hope you liked this first episode of Leadership in English. Don't forget to subscribe and give us a thumbs up. See you next time.